Hey, Rav Moshe, let's continue what we started 2 days ago, and we skipped it yesterday, so we'll get back to that, the mitzvah of Haseba. And we were looking in the book that's called Haseder HaAruch, and we're trying to figure out whether the mitzvah of Haseba was a mitzvah unto itself, of Chayav Hadam L'Harosis Atzmo, or is it inherent in the mitzvah of Matzah, and in the mitzvah of Dalit Kosos. And if it's a part of the mitzvah of Matzah and the mitzvah of Dalit Kosos, then it's quite possible that if somebody were to eat the Matzah without Haseba, he might have to repeat the Achilas Matzah because it's Likuva. It's a part of the mitzvah of Matzah. Again, you might ask, it's only the Rabbanon, and that we saw yesterday, 2 days ago. But nevertheless, it could be that a mitzvah Rabbanon, if it imposes conditions on a mitzvah d'oraisa, might make the mitzvah d'oraisa dependent upon that restriction or that condition. And the chachamim are invested with the power to unwind a mitzvah d'oraisa. So without any introductions, and I realized that I apologize, I started a little late today, got carried a little away with the Zechiras HaMoleh. Let's take a look at the Rambam and his definition of the mitzvah of Haseba. Now for this, I think, Sam, we were able to photocopy, yes?
Yeah, 150 and 151.
Okay. What do you mean by 150?
I don't... Kuf Nun, sorry. Oh no, it's Harei Kedem.
Yeah. So hey, give it to me for a second, I'll give it right back.
My
just want to make sure this is the right page. Oh, this looks right, yeah. Dinei Haseba, you have it? All right.
B'din Haseba Laku.
Okay, good. So this is called the Din of Haseba. Okay. Now, there are two. Yeah. There are two discussions here about the mitzvah of Haseba, and we're going to focus on the second one first, and then B'li Neder. I think after we see the second one, it'll be a lot easier to go back to the first one. Okay? The first one is called Geder Mitzvah Haseba. And Rav Soloveitchik gets very involved in the question of Haseba B'Shas Se'uda, when we eat the Se'uda. You remember the Rambam says that after he says, B'chol Dov V'dor Chayvon L'Haris Asatzmo L'fichok So'ed B'Lai L'Azed Tzorch Lechov L'Ishtos U'Mesiv Der Cherus. And he writes that there would be a shevach, right? It's if you were meisiv b'shar achiloso. What's the language of the Rambam again? Hareza meshubach. Okay, and shar achiloso. Now, the Shulchan Aruch tells us something which is not explicit in the Rambam, and that's in Siman Tov Ayin Beis. Kol mishet tzarech haseba im ochal oshasa belo haseba lo yotza v'tzarech lachzar v'lechol v'lishtos behaseba. So imagine the following scenario. A person ate matzah without haseba. Shulchan Aruch paskins, he's going to have to eat the matzah a second time. Is there a way of circumventing the requirement, the necessity of eating a second matzah? In other words, if I grant the rule, if I grant the principle that Haseba is critical, it's Likuva, do I definitely have to eat another matzah? So there was a Gaon back at the time, the Vilna Gaon, named Rav Shlomo HaKohen. And he says, I don't think you have to eat another matzah. Why? Because you're about to do Korach, correct? So what happens after you eat the matzah, you eat tomorrow? And then you do Korach. So the Gemara says in Arvi Pesachim that you can't fulfill the mitzvah of matzah together in one gulp, in one mouthful with the Morar, because we have a principle called Tam Morar Mevatel Tam Matzah. Are you familiar with that? That's a Gemara at the end of Pesachim. If you have a Gemara Pesachim, here's one Gemara, if somebody could open that up. It's on page Kuf Tes Zayin. Does anybody mind doing that for me? Take a look on Kuf Tes Vav, actually. And the Gemara there says that there's a principle called bittul. Now, what is that principle of bittul based on? It's not based on tam in the physical sense, but the Gemara says that maror is only derabbanan. Matzah is d'oraisa. And we have a principle called osi maror derabbanan umevatel mitzvah matzah d'oraisa. Now, supposing I could set up a mitzvah achilas matzah which is only derabbanan. In that case, both maror and matzah are both derabbanan, and therefore we would not apply the principle of bittul. So Reb Shlomo Kohen wants to suggest that there's no need, which is the impression you get from the Shulchan Aruch, to eat the matzah again, just simply eat a sandwich of matzah and maror. There are two premises that underlie his chiddush. Premise number one is that once he ate the matzah in the first round, he certainly fulfilled his mitzvah d'oraisa. That which he has to repeat another mitzvah of, another achilas matzah, that's only midrabbanan. He's not operating with the asman d'oraisa that we mentioned 2 days ago, that the rabbanan are okay in the mitzvah d'oraisa. He thinks that the second achilas matzah is only midrabbanan. At this point that we've downgraded the achilas matzah from a d'oraisa to a d'rabbanan, then he can accomplish two things, b'maka achas or b'achila achas. Simultaneously, he'll eat the maror, which is only d'rabbanan, and the matzah, which is a d'rabbanan. And anyway, he's going to do that in any event because of the mitzvah of Korach. So the mitzvah of Korach in this case is going to give him a double header. He's going to fulfill simultaneously the mitzvah of matzah and the mitzvah of maror. You'll ask me, mitzvahs mevatla zuazu. Well, mitzvahs mevatla zuazu is predicated on the fact that one is the rice and one is the rabbanon. But in this case, both are the rabbanon.
So we don't need more of a heseba.
No, page. 73.
Just 1 second. Maybe I missed something, sorry. The osi mor derabbanan vatal mitzvah is matzah d'oraisa. Kan arei chiyuv matzah min atog far yotza b'lo aseva. El shehitza chiyuv matzah min rabbanan v'seva. Kavi chiyuv zeh lo choshiv mor derabbanan ki mor derishus, because they're both derabbanan. So hash to travayu chiyuvam elo min rabbanan. It came yochol lechol shneyam miyad b'kricha. Lots of sidei matzu more of a korcham
b'yachad. What he's trying to
I think he's assuming, Yosef, just give me 1 second, that haseba and maror is not a requirement, but it's not negative, it's neutral. Yeah. Meaning there's no requirement of haseba and maror.
Obviously, but Hillel would have to do that, right?
It was his Hillel had to do it.
Right. Well, what's the minute as far as Korach is concerned? I didn't get a chance to look it up. You have it there? Do we do a Seba during Korach?
I think so.
Open up this.
Think about how would Hillel,
no.
How would Hillel be?
Hey, it should be Hey. Is this volume Hey?
Yeah.
Oh, if you don't mind.
Hillel would not be able to be anything.
Yeah, because if it's Zechel and Mikdash.
No, but Hillel believed that he would put together the Mikdash too.
Right, so I'm saying if we're duplicating what went on in the Mikdash according to Hillel,
it was all their rices, and they did it per se, I'm sure.
That would make sense because the Korban Pesach is Zecheli Lecherus, and therefore we require a Seva.
Sure. Matzah also.
Where is it?
Does anybody want to look that up for me? Is there another copy? Spread the wealth here. This should be another copy. I'll get it for you.
There's a Mishnah Berurah right over here.
The same question they're asking.
The Kodot.
Yeah. Who wants to help me out here? Anybody want to?
What are we helping you do?
To look up Korach. You know, open up to
see what they're supposed
the table of contents. Open up the table of contents. So that's going to be tough iron base, correct?
Tough iron base iron.
All right, now look, if you can, look in either tough iron aleph or tough iron gimel and see if you find something about Korach.
What about
Does everybody hear the kasha of Reb Shlomo Kohen? Let's just go over it one more time.
I understand.
You know, you really have to be a guy, and he was called a guy, and they know where to come up with this kasha. He's saying that the only reason why we can't eat the marah together with the matzah is because a mitzvah d'rabbanan, in its relationship to a mitzvah d'oraisa, is like a davar reshus. Like, for example, if you would eat the matzah and put a potato in your mouth while you're eating the matzah, that would be reshus mevatel mitzvah. And again, this is not on a physical level. These are halachas that a reshus is mevatel a mitzvah. Wait, just one second. Wait. I lost my train. Just one second. I'm sorry. Just give me a minute here. Sorry. Oh. So now, if there's a principle of reshus mevatel mitzvah in the case of a mitzvah derabbanon, vis-a-vis a mitzvah d'oraisa, if we would have an achilas matzah, which would only be derabbanon, then the status of mara would be identical to that of matzah. So therefore, it would not be a reshus. You know, you can fulfill two mitzvahs simultaneously, but the problem is, if there's a reshus in the middle, that's mevatel a mitzvah. In other words, we can't call it an achilas mitzvah if it has an element of reshus in it. But in the case where he ate the matzah, just he ate it without haseva, then the Shulchan Aruch requires him to eat it a second time. That's only midrabbanan, because the whole enterprise of haseva is midrabbanan.
Then you can ask him, why do we ever have achilas mara levad? You can always be also in your device of matzah.
Oh, that's a different
skip mara altogether. No, but the fact that there is a mara levad is the answer to a shayla. I mean, he's saying skip mara levad and have mara together with matzah, both on the Ramadan level in the form of korech.
Because then the matzah is chulin, it's not a mitzvah, it's not a battle the mara.
Okay. It's in kapayin hay.
No, so we have to set up mara as a separate achila because
if you did matzah with a seba, then you both mekayim deraisa and rabbanan. Now the matzah has no purpose together with the mara.
And
the mara itself was already it
ruins the mara.
It ruins the mara. Okay.
Uh-huh. Right. That's true too. So Rav Soloveitchik is now going to try to spend the balance of this essay to answer this question of Rav Shlomo Kohen. And why this is not an acceptable option. What did he say? You have Korach? What does he say about Korach?
It's in Tafayin Hay.
Oh, Tafayin Hay. I said Tafayin Dalef.
V'yachar kach notel matzah shlishit uvotzea mimena v'korcha him maror v'tovla v'charoset rama yesh omrim de'en l'tovlo v'chein hu b'minhagim v'chein ra'iti nohagim v'omer zechel mikdash kehillel v'yochlam b'yachad b'heseba v'mevarech al achilat matzah.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure that it's
not. Why do you make a bracha al chilas matzah?
Oh, I don't know. Do we want to
get into that?
Right, we can get back into that later. I know it's just too much eating me at once.
No, I'm sorry, I read it wrong.
Oh, good.
Umisha beirach al chilat matzah lo yasiach bedavar she'eno
me'inyan hasidah. He doesn't want
actually ochal kricha zo.
Right. He wanted.
In other words, that bracha holds over for
kol. But on the word beseba, does anybody comment on that? That's another portion. That he does a beseba.
Yeah. Beseba mishum matzah she'ochel.
What?
Matzah replaces the Korban Pesach, and Mara replaces the Maror. On Mara, we wouldn't make Haseba, but we make the Haseba because of the Matzah. But again, you see one thing clearly, that Haseba and Maror is not a problem. It's obviously neutral. It doesn't mean anything. It doesn't enhance the mitzvah of Maror. Otherwise, Yossi, if we have your kasha, how could Rav Shlomo Kohen suggest that he's going to repeat his achilas matzah for the sake of Haseba, and at the same time, in the same breath, he's eating Mara? But the answer is that Haseba and Mara does parma, does arbanish, it doesn't bother me, you know. All right.
You don't have to eat it derech avdus.
Right. The Mara itself, I guess, is derech avdus.
I'm not saying you don't have to eat derech avdus.
Interesting halacha. Bala matzah yatzah, avalim bala maror, lo yatzah, the tam maror, ba'in
halacha. Oh, okay. So that's a
different... You have to have the taste of maror.
Yeah. Well, that's a different thing. All right, I don't want to get off on a tangent, but I'll just say very quickly, the chefta has to be roy for tam. Right? The chefta has to be roy for tam. Do you need the actual tam or not? So here there's a difference between matzah and mara. So let's say, for example, if I take the matzah and I cook it, and I take the tam out of the matzah, that's called matzah mevushel, so I'm not yotze. But bala matzah yotze, in other words, you don't have to actually taste it.
But it was roi.
The cheftz has to be roi.
Kol haroi le'beila,
ein bila ma'pel. And therefore, right? Yeah. It has to be Roy Labila. So as long as the matzah is Roy Labila, you didn't cook the matzah, it has a tam matzah, then Ein Bila Ma Kevis Bo, you don't need the tam.
Yeah.
The exception to that rule is going to be Mara. Mara is not only a din in the Cheftza, but it's also in the Gavra. The Gavra has to feel the time of Mara. In Matzah, it has to be royal at time, but Ein Bila Ma Kevis Bo. But I didn't mean to go that far. You know, that wasn't my subject for now. What I'm trying to work out here is the answer to the question of Rav Shlomo Kohen. I mean, it seems like all the premises that he's operating with are correct. I don't know which one we can reject. So let's start with the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah. This is a famous sugya of Mitzvah Srichas Kavona. The Gemara establishes that Kafu Lechol Matzah Yotza. And the Gemara says, Shma Minah, Mitzvahs Ein Srichas Kavona. So Rav Salvechik wants to ask the following question. And sometimes he answers one question with another question. When the Parsim, okay, whoever it was, forced this Jew to eat matzah, did they force him to eat the matzah behaseba? So he assumes that that's not so. Now the Shulchan Aruch paskins that if you didn't eat matzah behaseba, you're not yotzei the mitzvah. So therefore, how could the Gemara say ochal kafu matzah v'yochal matzah yotza if he did it without hesseba? It's an interesting question. Again, maybe he did it with hesseba. Maybe midoraisa. The Gemara is saying he was yotzei the mitzvah matzah, but not midrabbanan. You can give many. Many different answers. He says the following. Nira od, okay, we're middle of the paragraph on Nira. The gami kafula hasiv, even if you would grant me, which would be a very odd, you know, mitzias, but let's say you grant me, even if I grant you, let's say, the premise that they forced him to eat a besseva, he says he doesn't believe for 1 minute that you would be yotzei the mitzvah besseva. A seiver that's done under compulsion is exactly the opposite of what we're talking about of derech chayrus. Mm-hmm. And then he asks another kasha. The Mishnah says in the name of Rav Gamliel, Kol Shalom Shlosha Dvarim, Lo Yotzi Yedei Chavaso. So what? When they forced him to eat the matzah, did he say matzah zu shanu oklan al shuma? So what's going on over here with this kafu matzah? I mean, he's leading us down a tzvei dinim kind of thing. That obviously the two dimensions to matzah, and when the Gemara says kafu lechol matzah yotza, it's only referring to one dimension. So he says the following: the pasuk says v'amartem zevach pesach, and what Rav Gamliel derives from that is that you must describe the tam mitzvah, the reason for the mitzvah, not the taste of the mitzvah, but in the case of Pesach. We have now an equation between matzah, mara, and Pesach. And just like in Pesach, the Torah says, v'yamartem, so too in matzah and in mara, there's also v'yamartem. Another source for the same halacha is lechem oni, lechem sha'onim olav dvarim harbe. So Tosfos, in the sugya of Rav Gamliel, which is in Kufta Zayin, he derives matzah from a hekesh to Pesach. Rabbeinu Chananel says, no. Rav Gamliel, when he requires of you to point to the matzah and explain the tam of matzah, he's not basing himself on Korban Pesach. Korban Pesach has its source, and matzah has its own source. And it says, lechem oni is lechem sha'onim olav dvarim har. So the Rav wants to say it's tzvei dinim over here. What does it mean? Kol shlo amar shlosh dvar me lo yotzi dei chavasa. Does it mean lo yotzi dei chavasa legamre? You know, his achilas pesach, his achilas matzah was meaningless? He suggests the following. There's one mitzvah called v'ochlus habasa malay lazeh, or in the case of matzah, v'erev toflu matzah. That refers to the mechanical act of achila. If there's an achila, whatever constitutes an achila, he was yotzei. Then there's another mitzvah, and there's a mitzvah of lechem oni, that matzah requires lechem sha'onim olav dvarim harbe, and Pesach, because of the pasuk v'amartem, has an additional dimension of describing the tam of the korban Pesach. So the Rav says the following. What the Torah is doing here, it's taking the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, which requires that we tell the story and so forth and so on. And it's now placing the mitzvah of Sipi Tzrayim into the mitzvah of matzah. His language is the following: B'mitzvah shel Pesach u'matzah posich b'kiyuma mitzvah Sipi Yetzias Mitzrayim. In other words, it's not enough that we have a general mitzvah Sipi Tzrayim, which is always Sipi B'peh. We have another mitzvah which requires that we do a maisa, but that maisa has to be integrated with the sipur. And that was saying that if you don't integrate the sipur into the maisa, so there's no description of the Yetzias Mitzrayim in the Achilas Matzah, then the Achilas Matzah is incomplete. One of the various kiyumim in matzah is gone. And he says the following, that if you look in both Rashi and the Rashbam, you know, at the end of Masechta Pesachim, we don't really have Rashi, but if you look in the Rashbam, at the end of Pesachim, they say the following, that the mitzvah of matzah has to be Zecher L'Geulas Mitzrayim. That we'll find in Rashbam at the end of Pesachim. And that's how the Rashbam understands Rav Gamliel, that we have to describe the matzah, as it were, at the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim. But we have another element, another requirement, in order to set up the Achilas Matzah as a Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, to upgrade and add another dimension to the matzah. It's not just a Maisa Achila, but it's also a Maisa Sipur. And what other element would now transform my achila into sipur? This is a rabbinic requirement called haseba. Haseba means derecheres. Haseba is also zecha l'geula. The Rambam, in the case of matzah, requires tibul in charoses. I think you mentioned that before, Yosef, or maybe you were talking about Korah. But the Rambam himself, I don't know how many people here have that minhag to take the matzah and dip it in the charoses. No? Well, if you're a Rambam fan, that's what you're going to do.
This is with during Korach or Stam Achilas Amotzi Matzah?
On the Achilas Matzah itself, the Rambam requires Tibul B'charoses. If you can help me out here with the source material, this is going to be Perek Ches of Chometz Matzah. And basically, you should know that the Rambam requires Tibul for almost everything. I mean, not Dalet Kosos, because that's a liquid, but almost everything else, the Rambam requires Tibul. Not just karpas, but matzah and maror, and everything requires tibul. So the question is, what's the basis for the Rambam's conclusion? I don't know if he's looking for a source, I think he's more looking for a logical source, for the requirement of tibul, the charoses, in the case of matzah. And Rav Soloveitchik wants to say that the Rambam holds that charoses is zechelitit, and that's a kiyum of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. Now we have to convert the matzah into a Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim dikur matzah. So it's not enough that the Gavra does a seva, or the Gavra does amira, and he describes the tam of the matzah. There has to be something inherent in the matzah, and that's tibul b'charoses. So the achila of matzah now generates not only a kiyum of achila in the pasuk b'erev tochlu matzahs, but also generates a kiyum of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. Wow.
And without that, it's not a sipur? The whole existence of matzah itself.
I guess it's a mitzvah sipur, maybe, but not enough of a sipur. In other words, the Torah wants a complete sipur, and that's through the amira of the tam of matzah. Uh-huh. And the Torah, well, maybe it's more the Rabbanan requires a complete sipur in the achila by requiring haseva. Now we're requiring tibul b'charoses. All of these. So now let's get back to the Gemara Rosh Hashanah, Kafu Lechel Matzah. And in that case, the Gemara says he was Yotze, if you hold Mitzvah Sein Tzrichos Kavanah, despite the absence of Rav Gamliel, the absence of Haseva, certainly not Tibul B'charoses. So he says the following, the Gemara is referring only to one dimension. And this is the paragraph that starts with Me'ata. He says the following, you could be Yotze, one of these two Kiyumim, without the other. And therefore, when it says Ba'erev Tochlu Matzahs, even though you have not fulfilled in the Achil of Matzah the mitzvah of Sipur, but nevertheless within the Achil of Matzah you have another element, another dimension, the mitzvah of Achila. And therefore, Enochinami Kafu Parsiyim, he's only Yotze the mitzvah of Ba'erev Tochlu Matzahs. He does not fulfill the mitzvah, for example, we mentioned Rabbeinu Hananel of Lechem Oni, Lechem She'onim Olav Dvarim Harbe. He didn't recite from Gamliel's formula. He did not do Haseba. So therefore, what happens is he fulfills the mitzvah of what? Of Achilas Matzah, right. Even without Kavanah, even without Haseba, even without Rav Gamliel, if you follow me. But he does not fulfill the Sipri Tzis Mitzrayim. And therefore, now we can answer the question of Reb Shlomo. And that's the Doraisa, because we derive from the pasuk itself of Ba'erev Toch Lubatzis, or the Hekesh to Karpa Pesach.
Do we have both them are mitzvahs from Tariya? One is the Ba'erev Toch Lubatzis, and the other one is
no, I think it's all part of one mitzvah.
There have to be Yotzi Hef, a mitzvah. One mitzvah.
No, in other words, it's one mitzvah in Taryah. Are you referring to Taryah?
In Taryah, it's one mitzvah. How can I say I'm Yotze the Erev Tochel Matzos, but not Yotze the Oraisa of eating it the
right, the right. No, I'll give you an example. The Rambam counts Shnei Tmidim as one mitzvah. The Rambam counts Kriyat Shema as one mitzvah. The Rambam counts Ketores as one mitzvah. It goes on and on and on. In other words, in the Minyan of mitzvahs, you can have two kiyumim and two maisim, which are two different zmanim, and they're not ma'akiv one or the other. And yet the Rambam, okay, so when you get to minyan mitzvahs, you know, basically minyan mitzvahs means that if you do one action, it has many parts to it. The Rambam counts it all as one mitzvah. So what we're saying is that there are two kiyumim, not two kiyumim in the sense of two mitzvahs. It's all part of one maisim, achilas matzah. But there are two dimensions and two fulfillments here. Now the question is going to be the following. What happens in the case of the sugya in Rosh Hashanah, where he eats the matzah, he fulfills the mitzvah through that achila of what? Ba'erev tochlu matzahs, but he's lacking the mitzvah of lechem oni. He didn't say a word about Yitzis Mitzrayim, he didn't do a seva, etc., etc. Nireh, he says, this is going on to page Kuf Nun Aleph, Diksha ochal matzah below a seva, Im Yochal Matzah Achshav Im Marar, he says, with regard to the mitzvah of Achila, which he already fulfilled on the first round without his seva, then he already fulfilled that mitzvah. Asher Kfar Kiyem. But now, if he eats the matzah a second time, that's an Achila Dereshus. And from this perspective, Rav Shlomo Cohen is absolutely correct that the matzah and the maror are on the same level. Harei kfar ochal matzah. El shadayin lo kiyem lechem oni shel sipitis mitzrayim.
That's also derisive.
Yeah, I don't know what he means. Memei lavi reshus. Just one second. What does he mean by reshus? Just one second. Give me a minute. I thought I understood this when I prepared it. One second. Aval adayin lo kiyem esakim shel lechem oni shel sipitis mitzrayim shal yedei achila sa matzah v'yu memei lo. I thought he was saying something else. I mean, reshus. Now, I don't know how to translate these words. He says, Havi reshus. I think he means, Havi achilas mora reshus. I don't know how to, you know, where to put the. Mameli, Havi. You know, is he saying that achilas mora is reshus? No, I don't know what he means. Alright, so give me 5 minutes. Hopefully in the next 5 minutes I'll figure it out.
I got it.
He says, okay, you got it, but give me 5 minutes, because I'm not as fast as you. He says, Davigam etzem achila chova sharei adayin lo kiyem es ikra chiyuv shalal matzah sumron osi matzah d'rishus. Oh, so again, what I said before is not right. Osi matzah d'rishus v'vatel Achilas mora dechovah. Yev shalasos lo mitam da mora mevatelas tam hamatzah. Elahepech diov hamatzah mevatelas is tam hamora. I lost the chesh because I thought I had my own spar here, but he's coming up with a different spar. The misha ochal matzah below a seva. Im yochal amatza achshav amora legavi etzav pitzus sakhil shabbos asher kfar kiyem havi achilas reshus. So visibly the mitzvah by erev tov lematzis, the second achila is reshus. Darei kfar ochal matzah The Rav's point is that since he already fulfilled al achilas matzah, therefore the second achil becomes an achilas rishus. Achilas morada. Why? It means mor is the rabbanon and matzah is the rabbanon. Why is matzah called rishus?
Matzah is not
even
the rabbanon.
You eat achilas matzah already.
Okay.
Well, that's not happening. I'll tell you my spin when you're ready. So achilas morar, he says, with regard to achila, is considered achilas chova, whereas as matzah now, as far as achil is concerned, it's only achil is for sure. So you have another kiyum of sipur, right? Tari adain lo kiyum is ikar achiyum shel achilas mor, which is encoded in the pasuk mit matzah rom yochlu. So therefore, as far as achil is concerned, the Rav says the achilas matzah on the second round is only an achilas for sure.
It's a wild thing to say the achilas rishus yet ani mekayim a mitzvah d'arais.
Right. That's what we're going to try to understand that paradigm. He says the yossi shap the lomi ef shall asil finds lomi tam shav mor mevatel tam matzah, because again he's right that moror is not going to be mevatel tam matzah here because they're both on the same level. But on the other hand, if we isolate the achila elahepach the ofen zer hamatzah mevatel says tam moror, because the in other words, I think what he's saying is there are two ways of understanding achila. One is the achila per se is the mitzvah. No, it's the mitzvah is inherent in the achila, and then there's a way of understanding achila as a means to an end. In other words, the kiyum here is not the achila. Right. Das liknisht in the achila. You know, in the case of Ba'erev Tochel Matzis, the mitzvah licked in the achila. But in the case of Sipitzis Mitzrayim, the achilas matzah is only a way of achieving zechira. And how do you make the achilas matzah into a zechira? You have A, you have B, you have C, all these things. So in the case where he ate it without A, B, and C, as far as the achila b'toras achilas mitzvah is concerned, that he's fulfilling. Now he uses the second achila to achieve his zechir liyitzis Mitzrayim. And that's only... That's external. That's an external element to the achila. Whereas the matzah, again, we're getting back with the mor. Excuse me, we're getting back to the inherent mitzvah of achilas mor. Go ahead, Sam. Now,
right on.
We have it. Okay.
It took me a while.
I mean, to catch up, because I was bothered by the same question. I think you feel that you were bothered by. It's a little paradoxical, because the Rav's whole thesis here, based on Rabbeinu Chananel and maybe even Rashi, is that the second achilah is going to be an achilas mitzvah doraisa because of lechem oni. So it's very funny to classify that achilah as an achilas rishus, and for that you have to be Rav Soloveitchik to come up with these wild ideas. You know what I'm saying? It's not something that's intuitively apparent that this achila, the second round, would be an achilas rishus. He's saying it's achilas rishus, and so far as it's only, I would say it almost this way: it's achilas. In other words, yeah, I think what I said before is okay. You know, it's only a means to an end. The achila only, you know, puts me in the mood for zechira, so to speak.
And if you think
can I trouble anybody here for a little bit?
Yes, you can trouble me.
Yeah, I hate to trouble you. I'm so dry the whole shiur.
I'm pretty troubled.
Because I went too far with my chumash class. Usually I stop it around.
Add hot water? Is that how you like it?
I have to have hot water.
Just add it to this and come back.
Add it to this. Okay. Well, let me see how much there is here. Yeah, I'll take out a little so it'll still be hot.
Okay. But philosophically, you have to assume then that this case of Sipritius Mitzrayim, that it's not the taste of the matzah that does it, it's the act of eating it, if you want to call it eating. Because offhand, there's a principle that when you eat and you spoil the tam, it's no good. But here, this eating is mechanical, but not traditional eating. Because otherwise, you would knock it out with the taste of myrrh. Right? You have to add something philosophical here.
Well, I'm not sure what you mean by philosophical.
And that was because
what's your question? Your question is that I'm tasting two different things that are sort of antithetical.
No, it's basically knocking out the taste and achille. You never.
But when you say knock out the taste, Sam, what do you mean? You mean in terms of how
are
you?
Yes.
You're looking at my taste buds.
At your taste buds.
Yeah, so I wouldn't use the word philosophical if you don't mind. I would use the word halachic.
No. What I'm saying is that you have to philosophize that the.
You go on, I get the water.
you have to say that over here.
He owes you to hoof of Kessler.
He wants to skip my blabbering. Okay, skip it.
Now, I just have this doesn't seem to me to fit into what I read in the Rambam.
I'd like to hear that.
The Rambam seems to have because one thing for sure that comes out of this is that I have to, the only way I could have the matzah and the marah together in the korach is if I only had a partial kiyum of the matzah. If I didn't have any, if I didn't eat the matzah at all, to jump right to korach with the marah, that sure one's from batzah from the other. Well, that's what the Rambam says is supposed to do. So at least I'm understanding. He says, if you have a kaf marah until she dying, until she dying, don't tell you there, right? Shniyah, shari, hesach, das, right? Lokeach shnei rikikim, cholek echad mehem, umeniach parus otok shalem, umeverech alotzi lechmanaris. Somebody didn't eat it, just made a bracha. Mipnei ma ein mevarach al shtei kikos kishal yom tov mishum shemar lachem olid. Okay. Now, are you still eating? No. V'chakach korech matza umoro ke'echad umitabel becharoses umavarach al shev kishon zizmano al
yos matza umoro ke'ochlan. This is Bizman HaMikdash.
Oh, is it?
I think. Doesn't he say b'med maravurim somewhere?
Then go down two more halachas.
Right, you see, the confusing thing about the Rambam is that, and the Rav used to make a big deal about this in his philosophy lectures, that the Rambam gives you the impression that he's talking to you and me. And he's not talking to you and me.
He's talking about the
Derek. And the Rav used to say it in a very dramatic way. He says, when the Rambam wrote his Mishnah Torah, what he saw in front of him was the Beis HaMikdash. And then he woke up from his dream. The Rav uses this language. The Rambam woke up from a reverie, and all of a sudden he said, wait a minute, I forgot to tell you that we don't have the Beis HaMikdash today. There's one little detail that I left out. You know? So in order to understand what went on during the time of the Mikdash, we would need a whole...
Mara was on the Arisa level back then, so no?
Mara was certainly the rice.
So that wasn't a steer, maybe. Although it was Tom.
Correct.
You had the Tom problem.
Then that's what I'm saying. That I tried to indicate this at the beginning of the Shia, that Tom here has nothing to do with taste buds. It's purely halachas. These are abstract halachas. Do we have halacha that a darabonah is mevatel a darice, a rishus is mevatel a darabonah? I mean, these are all halachic principles. Okay.
But the answer to the original reason why we opened this is you're correct. In the time of Churban Bayis, he says that, you do dip the matzah in charoses when you're eating the matzah alone by a chiles matzah. Mm-hmm.
Now there's another issue. Why does Bizman HaMikdash, he doesn't have tibu b'charoses?
Well, he does, yes, to get. There's a v'chach korach matzah maro ke'achot umetabo b'charoses.
Oh, he does have
tibu. Oh, okay.
I thought he omitted.
Matzah umaroran v'ochot.
Okay, very good. I didn't realize that he had it. Okay. Now, if you have the Shulchan Aruch open... Yeah. Take a look at... you don't have the Mugen Avraham, right? He only has the Mishnah Berurah. See if you could find on... You remember you quoted to me before the requirement of a Seba?
Yeah.
So is there something about Morar? Are you in Tafayin Hay?
Tafayin Hay.
Where does he say that Morar does not require a Seba? Do you have that in Tafayin Hay? I'm not sure which Seif it is because I don't have it open in front of me. Alan, could you do me a favor and open up the Tafayin Hay? You have a minute?
I was just going to get it.
Oh, you want to get it on your computer? Fine. So give this to Jeff, maybe. Jeff will open it for me. Tafayin Hay.
I can't get it on.
Anyway, somewhere in Tafayin Hay, I hope we'll find it because I want to see if the Mishnah Berurah has any comments. The Shulchan Aruch codifies the halacha of Yochlenu below Hesseva, that Marari is eaten without Hesseva.
What? Mugen Avraham is what you are.
Yeah, so I'm hoping that the Mugen Avraham is quoted in the Mishnah Berurah. If you have the Mugen Avraham himself, that's even better, and that's Sifkat and Vav.
Sure. Mugen Avraham is a separate document in halacha. I don't know that you'll find it in one of the most academic works.
All right, look, Rabbi, I don't want to hold. Let's not hold up the show. we'll trust the quote here in the Harei Kedem that the Magen Avraham writes that you could be yotzei the mitzvah of Haseba. I'm sorry, you could yotzei the mitzvah of Morar even by Haseba. So the Rav points out that there's a big chiddush here in this Magen Avraham. There was a hav mina to say that if a person ate Morar by Haseba, he would not be yotzei the mitzvah of Morar. And he says the following, that just like we set up two achilos, or two kiyumim and achil of matzah, there are also two kiyumim in the achil of mara. There's one kiyum of the mais achila, and then there's a kiyum of sipiyat yisrayim through the mara. But the sipiyat yisrayim of the mara is zecher le'avdus, not zecher le'cherus. And therefore, Haseba would undermine the kiyum of sipiyat yisrayim that's inherent in the mara. For example, Rabbi Gamliel says, "Kol shalom or shlosha dvar meil." What's shlosha? Pesach, matzah, and mar. So you see that mar also needs a connection to zechiras yitzisrayim, meaning it has that additional dimension of sipri yitzisrayim that's inherent in the mar. So mar is not just the maisa achila as a technical achila, but there's also a zechira element to it. Oh, so now what did you do? You did a seva. That undermines the entire zecher of mar. And we're going to have to talk about Korach, right? Because we said that in Korach there certainly is Haseba, but in Morar it's a big chiddush, says the Magen Avraham, that in Achlu Haseba Yotza, because Salkadai Tegamino, I would have said that he's going to have to eat the Morar a second time around without Haseba if the first round was Haseba, and we would say that in Morar Lo Yotza Yidei Chovasa, and all this is indicative of the fact that Morar, like Pesach and matzah, requires an upgrade, so to speak, to the level of a kiyum of sipiyatis mitzrayim. Now, the sipiyatis mitzrayim of mar is not the avdu, is not the cherus, but rather the avdus. That's why it's mar, right?
The marirut.
Oh, so now you're doing accurate. Now you're doing it besebo. I mean, you've changed the whole nature of the maisa. Again, you did it. You did it naively. I mean. It wasn't a smart thing to do, but you didn't do it deliberately. But nevertheless, your action now undermines the sipur of mar.
Did you translate that?
Just
word?
One second, one more sentence, just that I have the punchline. Umeyata yomakom lomar diksha mesiv b'shas achilus marar havi griusa vehefse b'mitzvas marar. You have robbed the mitzvah of sipur from the marar. So your achil is now in a mechanical achil without what? Without sipur. You ate the marar derech cherus instead of derech avdus. And therefore, just like in the case of matzah, you have to if you omitted the haseba, you have to repeat the mitzvah of achilas matzah. So too, in the case of mara, you'd have to repeat the mitzvah of mara. And here, the Magen Avraham comes with his kiddush al chatchila. Definitely, you want to leave out haseba and mara. But b'di'evet, you yotzei the mitzvah of mara even with haseba, and therefore you would not have to repeat the achilas mara a second time around. And that again reflects what we said in the case of matzah, that matzah without a seba means that you forfeited the kiyum of yitzias mitzrayim, and therefore you have to eat the matzah again. Therefore, salkadai t'chamino, I would argue that in mara, where there's also a kiyum of sipur yitzrayim through the mara, if he undermines that sipur by doing a seba, in the case of matzah, he undermines by omitting a seba, in the case of mara, he undermines it by eating the Mara Haseba. There was a Salkadaita to say, and the Rav never addresses the Maskana, but in the Havamin at least, you would require another Achila of Mara. Yes?
I just wondered the translation of a word, the underlined word, Gamba Mara something Sipur. You underlined it?
I underlined it, you say? Where?
It's Pita Pitecha.
Pasich. Pasich is one of those modern brisker words.
What is it?
I don't know how to translate it. Pasuk means it overlaps, meaning it has another element. When you want to say that X also has Y, then you say pasuk be Y. I don't know exactly how to translate
that word.
I don't know. Again, if you look in Reb Chaim, you'll never see the word pasuk in Chaim.
Never.
You do a word search in Reb Chaim, which you can do today with Bari.
I also don't know if Reb Chaim would get excited about a kasha that Reb Shlomo HaKohen Mevilna has.
that I don't agree with you. If the kasha is a good kasha, I mean, Reb Chaim quotes again, not often, very often, I'm quoting in the Sivis or others, Sefer Chinuch. I mean, a Minchas Chinuch. Yeah. Reb Chaim. I'm not sure if he had the sefer on his desk, Reb Chaim. That I don't know. Oh. You know, but surely, no. Reb Shlomo Kohen of Vilna was. You know, you're talking about. This is not like, you know, today you quote. You know, every Tom, Dick, and Harry writes a sefer. I mean, but this is from the, you know, from the Gedolei Achronim.
So we're saying that the sipur has to be appropriate to the siman.
Right. In other words, if you're talking about a Zechlitz Yisraim of this type, then you'll have a Simon of that type. In other words, you'll demonstrate it in a way that you achieve that element of Zechlitz Yisraim. If on the other hand, it's on the other end, you know, some say, Balayla Zeh, Balayla's, that's just 1 second, what was the Pshat? It says that. Anyway, one of the issues in the Haggadah is Maskil Begnus U'Masayim B'Shvach.
Yeah.
Correct? Just 1 second. Oh, yeah. Matzah itself. That's one of the kashas. U'Balayla Zeh Kula Matzah. I mean, again, just al pi drush, maybe it's not al pi pshat, is that matzah is a very strange mitzvah on this night. Because matzah has two elements to it. It's called lechem oni, which means that it's a memory of the oni that we suffered from.
Yeah.
And at the same time, it's derech eros. It's remembering the tziyah mitzvah. So, where, you know, mara clearly fits into one category. It's a zecheli merirus, zecheli inui, zecheli avdus. Matzah is a double theme, and it seems to be contradictory.
It's bittersweet,
right?
Yeah, but it's zebzatolo. You know, if there was no oni, it would be
maybe that's what it is. Maskel begnusim asayim b'shvach. But it's a very interesting phenomenon. I mean, this is not something that I invented. I mean, they talk about it. I don't remember which one of the mepharshim goes into detail.
The
double symbolism of matzah that seems to be mutually exclusive. It's both cheres and avdus at the same time.
Have a tangent, Shalchab. If the Haseva ruins the Sipur Yistis Mitzrayim inherent to Mur,
right,
then the Haseva matzah is part of the Sipur Yistis Mitzrayim.
Yes, excellent.
The Haseva itself is part of the Sipur.
If you take a look at the end of the paragraph, Ahine, I think that's exactly what he says. And he's saying the following, that just like in the midst of matzah, he says the kiyum has seva. He doesn't mention the word matzah. I edited it in my handwriting. That in the midst of matzah, the haseba is going
right,
to...
Right. I see what he added. Yes. Okay.
And therefore, if we apply that reasoning to tomorrow, just in the opposite way, the absence...
The lack of...
Right. If the existence of Haseva in the case of Mara is going to undermine the mitzvah of Sipur, just like the absence of Haseva in the case of Matzah.
What about what you're saying is Matzah, and if he ate Matzah without Haseva, then he was Mekayim the mitzvah of Matzah, but he's not Mekayim the Haseva.
The Sipur. Right.
How about what if this occurred? During the time when he was eating afikoman.
That's an interesting question. In the case of the afikoman, which we haven't studied yet, exactly what afikoman is all about.
But let's assume the mitzvah of afikoman, he can't eat afterwards again. So
the question that you're asking, Alan, is a brilliant question. If you have the halach of tam matzah b'fiv, and you ate the afikoman without haseva. You know, what's going to be? You know,
but he was already kind of Yotza. No, I thought of something. He was already Yotza.
So that's, I don't know. That we have to learn afikoman.
You might find something.
Is there a chapter on the afikoman?
I think
there should be.
He wasn't
if you don't mind this table of contents.
He wasn't mafsik between this achila and that achila, so it's all considered one.
Okay, that's very good. Excellent. I don't know if I can cover afikoman now. But what I would like to know the following. Dini Afikom, does he say anything about Haseba in the table of contents?
No.
No, he's not doing it.
He's doing Yoitz of the Pesach.
Okay. Now, Tosfos says the following.
Okay.
What happens in the case of Dalet Kosos. Now, it's not so simple that we could add a fifth kos. So what happens if he drank one of the kosos without Haseba? Tosus vacillates about this. He says the following. In Bekos Shlishi, Lo Hasin, should we ask him to drink another kos? Now, usually we're not mosif ala kosos between the third and the fourth kos. So if you take a look on the top left column here, he says the following. Mevur b'tosvus, the gam lahach tzad, the yimshochach v'lo hesiv, tzorech lachzor v'lishtos, b'shim shasebe likuva b'kiyim shal dalet kosos, b'komakom, mesafke l'tosvus, imu lo hesiv b'kos shlishi, imu yochol lachzor v'lishtos. And the reason for the suffix is because, as the Rosh points out, b'kos shlishi revim yishte yosin nirikim mosif ala kosos. So again, this is a sugya unto itself called mosif ala kos. When are you allowed to drink an extra kos? Just because you want to jack up the number of kosos.
When was the point that you did that? Was it before or after you made the bracha achrona on the wine?
Oh, so I don't know all the details. I'm just trying to get through this paragraph.
Yeah, Alan,
give me that, that slack, you know, and then you'll ask me your question. I just want to see exactly where he's taking us over here, because I have no clue what this has to do with that discussion about Haseba. He says the following. The Iser of Mosif ala Kosos, which means that after the third Kos, you're not allowed to drink another Kos. You have to wait till the Kos Revi'i. The Rashbam says the following. He says, Tzarech Bir Ezev Mosif ala Kosos Yeshkan Arayim Lo Yotzi Yidei Chovas Dalet Kosos. If we're holding now that Haseba is critical, and therefore the third Kos was meaningless, so therefore the fourth kos, which he's adding before the fifth, is not kemosif ala kosos, because you end up with four kosos. Im kein koma sheshosa enol of Torah's kos klal, v'achshav hu shosas hakos hashlishi o es harevi, so there's no mosif ala kosos. So why is Tosus inhibited with adding another kos to replace the third kos, which you drank without a seva? The afshe Torah's kos shall bracha yesh gam b'shtiyah v'lo a seva. Beautiful. Is gam kos shlishi shall ilgabi kos shlishi, but I will mistabe the ikar adin shall mosav ala kosos, toli b'kiyu shall dalit kosos, v'lo stam kos shall bracha. So in other words, what the Rav is clarifying here, is it possible to say what we said before, that there are two dimensions? There's the mechanical achila in matzah, and then there's the achila of sipur. And in mora, there's the mechanical mais achila in mora, and then there's the achila of sipur through Rav Gamliel, etc., without a seva. Can we set up the same structure with regard to dalet kosos? That the shtia is going to be a maisa mitzvah unto itself, just the mechanical shtia, and then there's an additional element of upgrading the shtia for a second kiyum of sipur, and that's through haseva. And then afkamina between the two is the following. When we require a second shtia to replace the first shtia, because the first shtia was missing haseva, are we saying that the first shtia was not even a cause at all? In other words, as far as the mitzvah of shtias dalet kosos, it was meaningless because it was lacking a seva. Or can we say perhaps that he was mekayim b'miktas, the mitzvah of shtia, even though he was lacking a seva? Just like in the case of matzah, despite the absence of a seva, he was mekayim the mitzvah of achilas matzah, not the sipur element. Maybe there's a parallel shtia. And he says the following. It's etzem hashtia hu yotze b'li haseva. There is a mitzvah on the night of Pesach to drink the wine. Again, we're not talking about the bracha on the wine. We're talking about the shtia on the wine. El dechaselo hazecha l'geula. And that's the suffix. It would be considered mosif ala kosos if you assume that there's a kiyum of shtia even in the absence, even a shtia that's devoid of Zecha L'Geula, meaning without Haseba. And therefore, when you drink a second kos to replace the previous kos, because now you're going to drink it and get it right with Haseba, you're essentially being Mosif Ala Kosos. Why? Because he already drank the third kos, and that registers in the mitzvah of shtiyas dalit kosos. So you've already drunk the third of the four cups of wine, albeit without the kiyum of sipur, but it was nevertheless a kiyum of shtiyah. Now you're going to go ahead and add another kos. Tosfos is very inhibited about that because of the prohibition of most of alit kosos. Dilma says Tosfos maybe it's okay. Why? Kevan de lo shasa kosos kitikunam. He drank the kos without the kiyum of sipur. He omitted heseva. Ein zed nechshav kibos v'al kosos. Harei kimagale shashtir rishona. Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I was going to read it. Lo hoisa bin aminyan. He reads it. Hoisa shalom bin aminyan. I don't know why he says it that way. The achshav u'chozer v'shosa esokos pava cheres kil chasa. And now he's being mosif v'al kosos. I'm sorry. And now he's not being Mosef Halakosos. So let's go through the two studies. The first side says that this is called Mosef Halakosos. Why? Because he has a kiyum, although not the complete kiyum, but he has a kiyum of Shtiyas HaKos. And if he has a kiyum of Shtiyas HaKos, now he's adding another kos. However, the other way is to say that there was no kiyum at all in the Shtiyah without a seva. That the Shtiyah without a seva is worth nothing. It doesn't even register as a partial kiyum of shtiyas dalit kosos, and therefore Tosfos says there's no problem in replacing it because it's ultimately the third kos. What did you say, Sam?
Here,
no.
Yeah. Toward the end of the paragraph before Achen, he says, Afsha Torat Kosra Bracha Yesh Gam Bishtiya V'lo Haseba Legabei Kosh Lishi Shel Berkat HaMazon. Does he put that in there because Birkat HaMazon Ta'un Kos, and that therefore you...
Well, on the light of the Seder, Ta'un Kos, you're good.
Right, but you could say that the drinking of the Kos of Birkat HaMazon without Haseba is at least Shayach to the Birkat HaMazon, and then if you're drinking again, it's not so much Mosif Ala Kosot, because that Kos was on Birkat HaMazon.
Well, wait a second. Let me just make one comment here. The mechanics, the mathematics that the Rav is operating with is the following, that if the third kos that you drank without a seva is meaningful, meaning if it has a kiyum to it, correct, then you have a problem. And then I understand Tosfos' problem. Why is Tosfos inhibited in adding a kos? Because that's called mosif ala kosos, meaning you already had the third kos. If, on the other hand, drinking that kos without a seva is nothing, it doesn't register, there's no kiyum, it's totally devoid of any kiyum, then basically the fourth kos in Mitzvahs is the third kos Alpidin, and therefore Tosfos should have no problem. So the Rav points out, don't get confused here by the fact that the third kos at the same time wears another hat. It's also a kiyum of Birkas HaMazon as a kosher bracha, and therefore Tosfos is perplexed about how can we allow you to drink another kos, you've already drunk the third kos. Okay. Tosfos says no, that's not relevant to that discussion. Why? Because our discussion is on shtiyas kosos shel chirus, meaning not the mitzvah of Birkas HaMazon, right? As we mentioned many, many times, dalit kosos is an overlap of two different mitzvahs. It's the mitzvah of kosher bracha, multiplied by four, and it's also the mitzvah of chirus. So the Rav thinks that if you want to know whether the kos registers or not, you have to convince me that it registers on the level of chirus. The fact that it registers as a meaningful kiyum in kosher bracha is totally irrelevant. That's what he said. That's what he means to say in that one line that you quote.
Why does he talk dafka about kosh lishish over katamazon?
Because the din of mosif ala kosos only applies between the third and the fourth kos. For that, we'd have to learn the sugya in every psoch.
I mean, if you wanted to drink a lot of wine in your meal, that's not called
right. Kosher. But let's say you drank the kiddush kos without Haseba.
Yeah, so I don't remember. You have the Shulchan Aruch, so you'll have to look up in Dalit Kosos now. You may find it here in the Seder Aruch. When is it most of Alit Kosos? Is it between 1 and 2, between 2 and 3?
But would you be Yom Tzei Kiddush?
As soon as we know the answer to that question, then we'll come back to your question. In the same rules, and the same rules that apply here will apply to Kiddush. But let's assume, Joseph, just... Again, I always like to assume, to make life easier for myself, that the din and the iser of most of our kosos only applies between the third and the fourth kosos. just for the sake of argument, you know, okay, as we say in Hebrew, l'saber ta'osa. Mm-hmm. So therefore, Tosa wants to know if he drank the third kos without a seba, is there a problem of mosif ala kosos by adding a replacement or a repeat performance of the third kos? Because now he's drinking a fourth kos. He's already drunk three kosos. So the Rav wants to understand, what is Tosas vacillating about? What are the two tzadim in Tosas' suffix as to whether or not if he drank the third kos without a seba, he can or cannot drink a replacement kos? So the Rav said, it all depends on whether or not the third kos in Hilchas Cherus, as a Kiyum Cherus, registers without a seba. And here Tosas has two possibilities. One possibility says, you know what? There's a mitzvah shtiyah. The Rabbanon established a mitzvah shtiyah. Now the Rabbanon wanted to embellish that shtiyah and upgrade it to the level of sipur, and the method they do is by adding the requirement of hesed. Correct? But this basic shtiyah is a mitzvah. Just like we saw in Achilas Matzah, the basic achil, even without all the trimmings, is a kiyum mitzvah be'erev tochlu matzahs. When the Rabbanon established the mitzvah shtiyah stalin kosos, there's a basic kiyum in the shtiyah itself. That would make Tosas very inhibited about adding another kos, correct? Oh,
yeah.
The other side of Tosas say no. The entire enterprise of Dalit Kosas b'derech Cherus, meaning for the purpose of Cherus, is all for the Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. They didn't have or register any chashivas, any significance to Shtiyah per se as a mechanical action. If that be the case, then we understand very well that you can add another kos. Why? Because if we assume the very essence and the critical element of Dalit Kosos is Shtiyah Derech Cherus, which is achieved through a seva, then Shtiyah Shalom Derech Cherus without a seva is worthless. It doesn't register. And therefore, if it doesn't register, then the third kos is going to be the kos that's really physically the fourth kos, which is replacing the third kos, because the third kos didn't register. You know, there's a counterintuitive element here. You just have to, you know, it's an inverse, what's it called, an inverse relationship here, because the funny thing is that we're saying that the more chashivas we're going to give to the kos that was drunk without a seba, right, the more chashivas we'll give it, the more we have a problem of an iser of adding a kos. In other words, the best idea here, if you want to replace this third kos and tiptoe and circumvent the problem of most falcosis, is to reduce that third kos to naught, to nothing. Because then I can certainly be liberal and allow you to drink a replacement kos because the previous kos
didn't count.
Yeah. Right? It would be like what Yechiel was saying before, if I drank in the middle of the Suda. Right? So if I drank in the middle of Suda, I don't say that now I'm adding a fifth kos. Right. I could drink 15 kosos in the middle of the Suda, connected to the Tesvav, you know, steps that lead up to the Ezra's Yisrael, and I would still consider the kos of Birkas HaMotzen as kos number 3, yeah, even though it's kos number 19, you know.
Does this work in also sort of like a Tashlumen thing? Or not, because for instance,
I would say so, yeah. Again, on that side that you're allowed to, again, you may have a problem with most of all the coasts, but if there's no problem with most of all the coasts, it's kind of a tashlum.
But if it is, then what happens if you already get to pass the fourth coast before you remember that you didn't link for the third coast? Now, is that lost already, or can you go back and.
What happened? You drank the fourth coast without a sable?
You can either one or two ways. It doesn't matter. Even if you say, let's make it simple. The fourth coast you drank with a seba.
Okay.
The third coast you drank without a seba.
Okay.
But you didn't realize that until after you drank the fourth coast.
Yeah. I mean, somebody pointed out to him, yeah, or he reminded himself after he drank the fourth coast.
No, how can you do that?
So that's
why you're not yotze?
Because there are leaves. There's a mitzvah.
Because
when you drink the fourth one,
yes and no. You realize that's complicated.
You can do one after the other.
They are linked to certain brachos, but yet, you know, Shasan Bazachar is a yotze. The verse says, here is yotze. That's very interesting. Does the brach itself, right, whatever the bracha is, let's say we're up to Halal, does that define it as kos number 3? You know what I'm saying? That's an interesting question.
I got the etymology of this word. It's misspelled, it's patuch, and it means blended in Talmudic Hebrew.
Ah, Okay, I don't know if it's in Talmudic Hebrew.
Blended, that's what Morphic says.
Blended, I would say integrated. That's what I would say.
Blended, yeah. They say blended, mixed.
Okay.
Now, like colors. Morphics is the
That's the final words. Authority.
When you repeat,
yeah, but again, you have to see what goes on here. Yeah. Morphics might be the authority on words, but it's not the authority on Ari Ken. You know what I'm saying? No, what do I mean?
It's indexed as a Talmudic word.
Oh, the word Pasuk actually appears in Talmud? Does it tell you where?
No, but I can find out.
That's interesting. Find out where it
not
appears.
Not from Morphics. I'll have to do a search on
something. Oh, okay. So you can do that in Bar-Ilan or whatever.
No.
Rebbe, with the third coast. With the third coast.
Why, what do you have against Bar-Ilan?
No,
Bar-Ilan. I use it all
NYU time. Is much more sophisticated.
Much more sophisticated. Okay. You mean if you're looking for a word in the Shas?
If you're looking for anything.
No, but I'm asking you something else, and this is important for me in my life. You know, halacha l'maaseh. I want to find a word in Shas.
Okay, you'll find that. But in terms of figuring out,
no, I want it's important for me to
who
know
who made up the word.
Because until I learned by line, took me 20 years, and now if you have
you can't get in. You have to be a.
You have to be a member of the Amor.
Yes.
Yeah,
with the third.
You have to be anti-Israel.
Oh yeah.
No
shadow.
With the third cousin.
I have a first cousin. He's not alive anymore. He was once invited to lecture at NYU. And the demonstrations against him when they found out he came from Israel. Imagine public demonstrations because they brought a professor from Hebrew University to give a lecture in NYU.
Yep.
And this is a mice of 25 years ago. So whatever you hear about NYU today is not new. It's as it say in Koheles, ain't chadash tachas Hashem.
Mass protests against
the same thing is in Britain, by the way. If you're reading about British anti-Semitism, there's nothing new. British anti-Semitism is older than German anti-Semitism. Ein chadash tachas Hashem. That's why I said in the previous class, if we gave a class about Mechias Amalek, I said today we need Mechias Amalek very desperately. Because Amalek is getting more powerful by the second. Not just in Turkey, and not just in Belgium, and not just in France, and not just in England, but even in the United States of America.
Colombia is not here.
Oh yeah, it's worse than NYU.
It's called the bastion of anti-Semitism now.
Yeah, I didn't know that. I didn't know that Columbia could be anything could be worse than NYU. All right, but isn't it true that you see until the Congress changed, the makeup of the Democratic Party, etc., I would have said the bastion of anti-Semitism in America is on the university campuses. Now I'm afraid it's in the government, which really jacks it up one other level.
It's in liberalism, and now the Congress has become part of the liberal movement.
But I'm saying liberalism in the campus, I think more than anywhere else.
That's where they
anywhere
else. That's the mega.
And in Canada, it's also Gefährlich.
Yeah.
It's horrible in Canada, too. So we really need a Yeshua world
to be anti-Semitic and anti-Semitic.
It's a funny kind of thing. I'll just go off on tangent for 1 minute. What is the true Hashkafas Hayadus on Zionism? The Satma will tell you that it's all Maisa Sakan. And they'll tell you that all the suffering of the Jewish people is because of Zionism. We had the chutzpah of deciding that we're going to establish a state.
Because before that, there was no suffering. Suffering started.
Right. No, but I'm just saying, Sam, my point, I'm only trying to make one point here, that today, anti-Israel equals anti-Semitism. Yes. There's no way you can make a chiluk between the two. So, so the Satmar is going to say to you, you see, I prove it to you. Why did anti-Semitism become so intense? It's because of the state of Israel. So you see that we had no chutzpah to go against the Gibel Shvuas and establish a state. Do you follow my point? The other side is going to say, fakeret, that anti-Semitism is alive and well on its own. It doesn't need the state of Israel. The pitaron, the solution to anti-Semitism, is establishing the state. And I say to myself, I don't know if this is true, people laugh at me, that now's a good time to invest in real estate here in Israel. Because I'm telling you, the one thing I learned, I took 3 courses in college in economics. There's only one thing I remember from those 3 courses, and that's the law of supply and demand. It's the only thing I remember from 3 courses. I suffered through economics.
It has nothing to do with the ideology.
Because somebody registered for me for economics when I was at Queens College, when I was still learning in yeshiva. I never forgave him for it, but he's a good friend of mine.
Supply and demand has nothing to do with ideology, right?
I took three courses in there.
You're not mixing supply and demand and the ideology. We just
No. All I meant was that I think, again, maybe this is very naive.
Applies to Beirut.
But I'm telling you, get yourself as much karka in Eretz Yisrael as you can, because it's a good investment, I think. Again, if you want to, you know, Rav Herzog Olam Shalom said that there won't be, you know, there won't be a fourth destruction of Eretz Yisrael. You know, you see, he has writings from Psukim and Avraham Avinu and so forth and so on. So if you believe in the future of the state of Israel, that's my premise. Then I think the price of real estate is going to go up. I honestly do. Now again, you know, Kabul. Jews in the world are not coming on Aliyah tomorrow. You know, they're not massively leaving these countries. But I have a close relative of my family who told me that she's out of here. She has a beautiful life in Brooklyn, New York. She just can't tolerate the anti-Semitism. There was an article, not an article, a letter to the editor, Mishpacha. I don't know if that's your favorite journal. You know, it's not such a scholarly journal, maybe. But she writes that she is one of the few women in Lakewood, New Jersey, who doesn't have a car. So she travels by public transportation. And he said, "You won't believe what I overhear on the bus. It's mind-boggling. The blatant anti-Semitism. The words that are coming out of people's mouths. I mean, I remember 25 years ago, I was trying to back into a parking spot on Grand Street in New York, and a lady goes by in her car, rolls down her window, and says, "Dirty Jew." Because it took her an extra second to get by while I was trying to get into a parking spot. Yeah, and my friend Yom Yafun tells me that he was walking on the streets of Paris, and somebody was driving by, rolled down his window, and said, "Jew, go back to the showers." So you know, anti-Semitism is there. It's, you know, it's in the air. But I'm just saying that it might be a good idea. I don't have any money. If somebody could lend me some money, I would invest in real estate, because I think the, you know, the handwriting is on the wall, and that's the pro-Zionistic approach. You know, we're not going to talk about what causes anti-Semitism, but Lamaisa, where are the Jews going to go? I mean, where are we going to go if we can't go to America? Where are we going to go? So hopefully Sanders won't come to power, but the man is completely surrounded by anti-Semites. And he himself is a self-hating Jew. My father used to call him Kotzim Ubar Kanim. There's a Medrash in Chazal that says that a field, in order to be ready for produce, you have to get rid of the thistles and the thorns.
Yeah.
And the Medrash compares the Jews who are hating themselves to the thistles and the thorns. And we're producing them in America like the speed of light. It's unbelievable how many Jews are more anti. They outdo the goyim in anti-Semitism.
You're assuming.
All right, I just want to finish up. Okay. How are we doing? I'm sorry. I shouldn't have done that. I rarely go on a tangent, but I tell you, it's the end of a long week for me. So you know, you never know.
Can I just ask one question, please? If you didn't do a save
on the fourth comes,
forget about it.
No, I need to say on the third comes. You only remind yourself after the fourth.
All right, but even before that, if you take the simple case where you just forgot to do it, you didn't drink the fourth comes yet. Do you make a bracha on the repeat comes or not?
A bracha. That's a shaila birchas hamitzvah, birchas hanen. Let me just think about it. I would say probably.
Is it
probably not. I would say probably without a broom.
Is it only Berchus Hanen?
I think it's only Berchus Hanen. Again, we have to learn the Sugya of Dalitosis, but I think it's purely Berchus Hanen. And the Sfaradim, by the way, they don't have four brachas the way we do. You're talking about Bar Piyah Goffin, are you not? Yeah, they don't have that. That has to do with Hesech Hadas, and has to do with whether or not, you know, one bracha suffices for all the shtios. You know, you have to get into the real heavy Berchus Hanenim Sugyas. But I think we had a little bit left in the paragraph here. He has a rush, a quote of a rush. Do you see that about 10 lines up from the bottom? The rush writes the following: Yomiu ikla meimar kevan sheshasa shalokiti kuno huvar adavar shalomi minyan akosos haya umashe shosa ata hu koshal chova. Or if you want to substitute, you can say koshlishi. So it's very fascinating that whereas Tosus vacillates back and forth, the rush takes a definite stand. And his opinion is that without tikkuna, meaning if he drank the kos without a seba, there's garnish. It's like the kos, as Yechiel says, in the middle of the suda. It doesn't even register here. There's no mosav al kosos. V'nira takavona the afligavi shtia, meaning of the previous kos that he wants to replace now. Mm-hmm. He says the following: the afshagam b'shtir rishon yochel lotzis idei chovas mitzvah shtir mikom mekom einu mosav. Oh, he reinterprets. Just one second. The kach he kavanas hashoseh Shekos shehu lo shosu ketikun he ain't over klal adalik tos. Upside din of das is, I don't know where he sees this in the rush. So let's see the rush again. Is this what the rush is saying? Came Hoover Adovar. He doesn't say anything about das. One second. Nira Kavona, the Afshagam Shim Yocholos and Kovakon Kach. He says Kachi Kavona Sashosa. I don't know how he knows this. Honestly, I didn't see this in the rush. Maybe there's more to the rush than that. Okay, now as I promised you before, there's another siman about Heseva, and that's siman Ayin Beis. Do we have photocopies of Ayin Beis? No, we didn't do that.
And somebody stole my copies.
Okay, so let me say the following.
Ayin Beis was in Heseva.
Yeah. No, there's nothing. Did nothing pass?
Huh? What? Rabosa, I wanted to ask the following question. Remember, we spoke about the Bavur Zeh. The Bavur Zeh. So I'm wondering the following. What would be in a case where he ate the matzah and he fulfilled the mitzvah achilas matzah, but he did not fulfill an achilas sheyesh pasipu? Would he be able to fulfill Bavur Zeh with a second matzah that replaces the first one only for the purpose of Sipur? It's completely devoid of Mitzvah Achila, because that he fulfilled already on the first round. Again, I'm making a ton of premises here, each of which you can fight me on, but let's just grant the following premises. Let's assume that Bavur Zeh requires that the matzah that you chayev to eat has to be there, and that the secret time has to wait until you've already been Makai the Mitzvah Chilu. Correct? If that be the case, what would be in the Rav's frame of reference that there are two dimensions to the Mitzvah of Matzah in a case where he fulfilled one dimension, and because the Rav insists that they're independent one of the other, and he hasn't yet fulfilled the other Mitzvah?
That's a scenario of Rishon Makan, right? That's his question. You fulfilled Matzah, and that's precisely the formula.
Correct. So now I'm asking the following. Would you be able to be Mekayim Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim and fulfill the requirement of Bavur Zeh if you already fulfilled the mitzvah of Achila? Correct? So again, the Rav claims that the second Achila is going to be Achilas Rishus, and it's going to be a Vatil tomorrow, and therefore Rav Shlomo Cohen's Eitz is not acceptable, because as far as Achila is concerned, Gandit, you know, you've completed the mitzvah, put it in a file, and now there's no mitzvah in the achila per se. So I'm wondering, if there's no mitzvah in the achila per se, what about the bavur zeh? If the bavur zeh depends upon ba'erev tochlu matzis, then we're in trouble. But if the bavur zeh depends upon the whole gamut of mitzvah achilas matzah, meaning it's matzah legabi the mitzvah of Sipur, because that I didn't fulfill, and the halacha requires me to eat another matzah, albeit b'torah Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim with Haseva and Tibul B'charoses and Bavur Zeh and Rav Gamliel, would that be enough for the Bavur Zeh? Now, if you give me 1 minute, what I wanted to suggest was, do you remember the question we once asked about Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah? Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah holds that Eina Pesach Nechal El Ad Chatzos, and therefore the matzah has to be eaten before Chatzos. And yet, paradoxically, he's one of the Tanoim who's sitting around until they told him about Kriyat Shema Shel Shachar. So we had many, many interpretations. Could it be possible, I'm just thinking out loud, that this Shtikl Torah, the Rav, could possibly help us? And the equation to Pesach, which requires Ad Chatzos, is only as far as the mitzvah of Ba'erev tochlu matzahs. Meaning the mechanical achila. But could it be possible that even after chatzos, you can still be mekayim a mitzvah achilus matzah, albeit not as ba'erev tochlu matzahs, but as lechem oni, meaning to achieve a kiyum of Sifri Yitzis Mitzrayim. In other words, now that the Rav has opened up this, I'll call it a Pandora's box, that you can split between the two kiyumim of matzah, you can have one achilus matzah with kiyum A and a second with kiyum B, is it possible that the mitzvah of Sifri Yitzis Mitzrayim, which depends upon matzah, does not depend upon the matzah of Ba'erev Tochlu Matzahs, but there's an element of Sifri Yitzis Mitzrayim in a matzah which is completely devoid of Ba'erev Tochlu Matzahs, i.e., you've already fulfilled Ba'erev Tochlu Matzahs, or you haven't fulfilled it because you messed up and you know the clock struck midnight. So from Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah's opinion, Ba'erev Tochlu Matzahs is gone, but would Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah perhaps entertain the possibility that the matzah is still meaningful, albeit as a kiyum of Sipur, because the mitzvah of Sipur per se could exist as long as you have a bavur zeh, meaning as long as you're still obligated in matzah in one sense or another, meaning even if you don't have the full-fledged kiyum of... is anybody following me? Am I making any sense? I'm just thinking out of the box.
But that would be only to the person who didn't have the kiyum sipur in the matzah, but someone who was Mekayim, he wouldn't have any more kiyum after
Right, after right. So then Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah would have to be re-examined. But I'm saying, if you would assume that since within the halachic universe, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah himself would validate an achilas matzah after chatzos, not b'toras ba'erev, because in Korban Pesach it says ba'layla azeh, which according to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah terminates at chatzos, but in terms of sipur, if maybe the matzah could exist as a vehicle of sipur for lechem oni, shonim olav dar, I mean, that already is a different kiyum, which might be free of the fetters of Ad Chatzos. Those fetters, those restrictions of Ad Chatzos, are generated by Matzah B'Toras Achila, but not by Matzah B'Toras Sipur, which would be exciting, because then you could achieve Bavur Zeh, even beyond Chatzos, even according to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. It's a wild idea, and I'm sure that there's a glitch, but before I find the glitch, I want to enjoy it. And what I'm saying is, it might throw a whole different dimension on this issue about why Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah was there sitting with the five Tannaim.
Because he himself was not.
Jeff, are you about to say something?
Because he himself.
Are you with me on this?
Because he himself ate the matzah without a sin?
No, what I'm saying is that since within the halachic universe, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah would admit that there could be a time for matzah to achieve a kiyum of sipur, even beyond chatzos, therefore the mitzvah of sipur itself can, in other words, where's the bavur zeh, right?
The bavur zeh salient,
what's relevant. Right, what I'm saying is the following. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah l'chor is a pella, why he joined the other Tannaim. We have 50 million answers to that question, but if you go back to the question itself, why is he bothering with Sifri Yitzis Mitzrayim, which you need Bavur Zeh? Bavur Zeh means B'shar Sheish Matzah Mora. But I'm just saying, maybe the matzah of Bavur Zeh could even be that minimalist matzah that has nothing more than Sipur, it's devoid of Ba'erev Tofu matzahs, but it does hang on, it clings on to the Lechem Oni element of Onim Olav Dvarim Harim.
That's why I asked if there's a distinction between someone who was Mekayim.
I don't think so. I don't think you even have to get into that, because again, as long as the matzah lends itself to a mitzvah for someone in the family.
Why can't the Kayim and you want to do after?
In other words, what I'm asking is, would Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah look at the matzah after chatzos? What is he looking at? Is he looking at a cracker? Or is he looking at a matzah? Meaning that somewhere in the face of the earth is someone who could eat that matzah and fulfill
But you should also say that he himself should be able to eat it, because he's not eating it, he's not being over a pair of the whole matzahs, because that aspect is gone. This is not an pair of the whole matzahs achil. It's a simple triumph achil. So I myself, I should be able to eat matzah all night long.
Right.
as opposed to just being the sapir all the time. But I can also be able to eat.
Wait, I'm not sure if I understand. What was the Hava Avinu otherwise?
I understood you say that because someone on the planet might have a kiyum of achilas matzah at this point because he didn't fulfill the sipur, so sipur is in the air. So I can still be kind of sipur all night long, but I can't eat matzah.
Right.
I'm only attaching myself to somebody else.
I don't see what you mean by I can't eat matzah. I'm sorry. When you say I can't eat matzah, what's just if you don't mind, again,
can't
sorry.
Can't be matzah, he's saying.
Oh, you know what I mean? I thought you were saying I'm enjoined from eating matzah.
I am. Why? You don't eat after having common. That had to be done by chazal.
I didn't know what you meant.
I can't actually eat it because somebody else on this planet.
So that applies even to 11 o'clock. If 8 matzah 10,
yeah.
So 11 o'clock can't do sipur.
Yechiel's talking about again. 8 matzah, you're not confessing having COVID. Again, you know, I didn't get to that sugi yet. It's a very complicated sugi. In fact, in Harry Kedem, he has tons of stuff on 8 matzah, you're not confessing. You know the famous Avnei's are about making a Tanai? He has a whole chapter on this, you know, to argue with the Avnei's. It's very similar, it's reminiscent of this chapter, because the eights of Rav Shlomo Cohen, you know, unnerves Rav Soloveitchik. So he has to figure out if he loved this, why it's not correct. And the same thing is with the Avnei's, that, you know, he came up with an eitzah to circumvent the problem of Ein Maftir Nachem Pesach Afi Cohen. That unnerves Rav Soloveitchik. We've got to fight a battle.
Yeah, but the eitzah of the Avnei's is based upon the fact.
Again, you're hitting me with Afikom. Let's leave the Afikom for the end of the Seder. I'm very far from Afikom. Trust me. If you think Afikom is a simple sugya, you're very mistaken. Afikom requires that you be a rangifon. Your mamish have to be in the sugya of Afikom. There are five different shittas about what exactly Afikom is all about. I mean, in the Rishonim even. Forget about the Achronim. So I don't know if you can hit me right now with Afikom.
I'm waiting for the simple sugya. I haven't found it yet.
That's what, the Rav used to always say when he took on a certain masechta, and then halfway through the year, he would say, I thought this was going to be an easy masechta. He did that in Brachas as well.
The answer he gave about Yayin will not...
Do you have my chicken scratch on the side? Can you read that?
Yeah.
It doesn't come out clearly. I'll tell you why, because I wrote it in pencil. I have a minute of trying to write in pencil, but now
one day you're going to erase it and make it brand new, right?
Yeah, I'm going to change it and then think. So I'll just read this quick. Do we have a minute till Mincha? No? Alright, so I'll read this on my own. So let me take this opportunity to wish everyone a great Shabbos. Yes. And again, I apologize. You know, Thursday is always a bit of a challenge for me. My wife wonders how I go on so little sleep, but after Thursday, I mamish, my body just falls apart.
You ask just so you should know when you need it. He has the whole thing about Afikoman, but he doesn't talk about the Seder there. He says, come back here to Lamed Vav, Lamed Zion, and I discuss it there. There's all these footnotes here. So you probably even.
So, you know what? Do me a favor, if you can, again, if it's not a tip, just write down the page numbers that are relevant. Send me an email or something. Hesseva for Afikoman is going to require that we know what the Afikoman is all about. You know who has a lot of Torah on the Afikoman? This fellow, Rabbi Mirsky. Do you ever hear of him? He has a very popular sefer. It's called Hegyonei Halacha. Are they dominating already?
Yeah.
Because it sounds quiet, which is suspicious.
Quiet. All right.